What a great privilege to be together with the people of God, and we're thankful for each one who's come to be with us this day. I want to remind us in our study this morning how that God has put His words in a book, and He expects us to be a people of the book. In Deuteronomy chapter 17, in verses 18 through 20, which Matt read to us just a few moments ago, we find where the Lord anticipated that when His people enter the land of promise, that they would set a king over them like all the nations round them. And the Lord said in Deuteronomy 17 and verse 18, "It shall be when he sitteth upon the throne of his kingdom, that he shall write him a copy of this law in a book, and it shall be with him, and he shall read therein all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God, to keep all the words of this law and these statutes to do them." Basically, the Lord is saying that the king of Israel is to be a man of the book. As we read further in the book of Deuteronomy, we'll find that there would be severe curses and consequences for not keeping the book. In Deuteronomy 28 and in verse 58, the Lord said, "If thou wilt not observe to do all the words of this law that are written in this book, that thou mayest fear this glorious and fearful name, the Lord thy God, then the Lord will make thy plagues wonderful." On the other hand, those who would be a people of the book would enjoy great blessings and benefits. In chapter 30 of the book of Deuteronomy, beginning in verse 9, it is recorded, "And the Lord thy God will make thee plenteous in every work, in the fruit of thy body, in the fruit of thy cattle, in the fruit of thy land for good. For the Lord will again rejoice over thee for good, as he rejoiced over thy fathers, if what? Thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to keep his commandments and his statutes, which are written where? In this book of the law. And if thou turn unto the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul." And so I can begin to appreciate that God has put his words in a book, and he expects his people to be a people of the book, and that there were consequences that would come as a result of not keeping the book, and there were wonderful blessings in store for those who would keep the book. As you come to the book of Joshua, and the Lord's people are preparing to cross the Jordan to enter the land of promise, you find that Moses has passed from the scene and he is succeeded by Joshua. God gives charge to Joshua in Joshua chapter 1. And notice these words from the Lord to Joshua in verse 8. "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." Basically, God's charge to Joshua is, "Joshua, you need to be a man of the book." And notice, as he is a man of the book, his way will be prosperous, and he'll have good success. Many today are interested in prospering, and many volumes have been written about how to be successful, but none greater than this book that we hold in our hands today. And one of the great principles for prospering and having good spiritual success is to be a people of the book. In this book of Joshua again, notice in chapter 23 and in verse 6 how that Joshua has called for all Israel at a time when the Lord has given rest unto Israel from all their enemies, and at a time when Joshua is waxed old and stricken in age. What will this aged man have to say to the Lord's people? In Joshua 23 and verse 6, he says, "Be ye therefore very courageous to keep and to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, that ye turn not aside therefrom to the right or to the left." And so basically, Joshua is appealing to the Lord's people, the children of Israel, to be a people of the book. And that's our appeal in our study this morning, is for us as the Lord's people to be a people of the book. In the first part of our study, I'd like for us to call attention to some people of the book, people who were committed, to being a people of the book. And then in the remainder of our time, we'll talk about some characteristics of people of the book. As you think, first of all, about some people of the book, I believe that the Jews that had been liberated or freed from Egyptian bondage were a people who agreed to be a people of the book. Notice in the book of Exodus, as the Lord's people have come forth from Egyptian bondage, they are encamped before Mount Sinai. And in chapter 24, the book of Exodus, we read in verse 3 where Moses came and told the people all the words of the Lord and all the judgments, and all the people answered with one voice and said, what did they say? All the words which the Lord has said will we do. And Moses wrote all the words of the Lord and rose up early in the morning and builded an altar under the hill and 12 pillars according to the 12 tribes of Israel. And he sent young men of the children of Israel, which offered burnt offerings and sacrificed peace offerings of oxen unto the Lord. And Moses took half of the blood and put it in basins, and half of the blood he sprinkled on the altar. And he took the book of the covenant and read in the audience of the people, and they said, notice again what they said, all that the Lord has said will we do and be obedient. Notice that Moses has written the words of the Lord in a book. And he reads in the audience of the people the book of the covenant. And they say, all that the Lord has said will we do and be obedient. It's not that they are determined to do some of it, nor is it that they are making a commitment to do even most of it. But they said, all that the Lord has said will we do and be obedient. I like that attitude, don't you? I believe that's the kind of attitude that I need to have as I'm committing myself to be among those who are people of the book. But notice also, as you think about some people of the book, that a king by the name of Amaziah was a person of the book. In 2 Kings chapter 14, we read of the good reign of King Amaziah of Judah. The great tribute is paid to Amaziah in 2 Kings chapter 14 and verse 3, when the Lord said he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. Verse 5 records, and it came to pass, as soon as the kingdom was confirmed in his hand, that he slew his servants which had slain the king his father. Now listen to this statement, verse 6. But the children of the murderers he slew not. I've got a question. Amaziah, why is it that you didn't slay the children of the murderers? Let's read on verse 6. According unto that which is written. Written where? In the book of the law of Moses, wherein the Lord commanded, saying, the father shall not be put to death for the children, nor the children be put to death for the fathers, but every man shall be put to death for his own sin. That's found written in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 24, and verse 16. And so why did Amaziah, king of Judah, not slay the children of the murderers? Because he was committed to keeping the commandments of the Lord recorded in the book of the Lord. Do you see that? He had great respect for what the book of God said. And I need to have that kind of respect as well. But then again, as we make a study of some of the people of the book, King Josiah was a king of the book. Notice in your Bible, in the book of 2 Kings, chapters 22 and 23, where we read of King Josiah. He began his reign at an early age. We're introduced to him in chapter 22 and verse 1, when the Bible says Josiah was 8 years old and he began to reign, and he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. Can you imagine reigning as king at the age of 8, or having an 8-year-old king? And it came to pass during the reign of Josiah that some repairs were made to the temple. In verse 5, the Bible says to repair the breaches of the house. And as they're making the repairs to the house of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, they found the book of the Lord. Can you imagine the Lord's book being lost among the Lord's people? And of all places, guess where it's found? In the Lord's house. Hilkiah, the high priest, said unto Shaphan the scribe, as recorded in verse 8, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan, and he read it. And Shaphan the scribe came to the king and brought the king word again and said, Thy servants have gathered the money that was found in the house and have delivered it into the hand of them that do the work, that have the oversight of the house of the Lord. And Shaphan the scribe showed the king, saying, Hilkiah the priest hath delivered me a book. And Shaphan read it before the king. And notice the king's reaction. It came to pass, when the king had heard the words of the book of the law, that he rent his clothes. He said in verse 13, Great is the wrath of the Lord that is kindled against us, because our fathers have not hearkened unto the words of this book. In chapter 23, King Josiah assembles all Israel together, and he reads in their ears all the words of the book of the covenant, which was found in the house of the Lord. 2 Kings 23, and in verse 2. And according to verse 3, the king stood by a pillar and made a covenant, that is, an agreement, before the Lord to walk after the Lord and to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all their heart and all their soul, to perform the words of this covenant that were written in this book. And all the people stood to the covenant. Would to God that there would be such a heart in me today that existed in the heart of this king to make an agreement or a covenant before the Lord, that I'm going to walk after the Lord, I'm going to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all of my heart and with all of my soul, and I'm going to perform the words of his covenant, which are written in this book. And notice the Bible says all the people stood to the covenant. It's no wonder then that it could be said of Josiah in chapter 23 and verse 25, Like unto him was there no king before him that turned to the Lord with all his heart and with all his soul and with all his might, according to all the law of Moses. Neither after him arose there any like him. Here is a person of distinction. Josiah was a unique individual. And it all started with the fact that he was a man of the book, that he committed to doing what God said. And as a result of his commitment to be a man of the book of God, we read where sweeping changes were made during his reign. He was successful in ridding Israel of idolatry and replacing idolatrous worship with the worship that was according to God's book. As an example of that, in chapter 23 and verse 21, the king commanded all the people, saying, Keep the Passover unto the Lord your God. And notice how he said to keep it. As it is written in the book of this covenant. And that's the kind of commitment that we need to make when it comes to worshiping God, that we're going to worship him as it's written in the book, worshiping God in spirit and in truth, John 4, and in verse 24. But then again, as I began to think about some people of the book, I thought about the people before the water gate in Nehemiah chapter 8. If you'll turn in your Old Testament to the book of Nehemiah, we find the Lord's people have returned to their homeland and they're rebuilding. As Nehemiah captures the period of return and restoration. In Nehemiah 8 and verse 1, we read where all the people gathered themselves together as one man into the street that was before the water gate. And they spake unto Ezra the scribe. What did they say to Ezra? Bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded to Israel. Notice that these people of the book in Nehemiah 8, first of all, asked for the book. They said, Ezra, bring the book. And that's the book that I need to ask for. I need to ask that those who would come and teach the law or preach the gospel, that they bring the book of the law of God. as Paul charged Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 2, preach the word. But notice also when Ezra brought the law and he read therein, according to verse 3, he read before the strait that was before the water gate from the morning until midday, before the men and the women and those that could understand and the ears of all the people. What about their ears? The Bible says their ears were attentive unto the book of the law. What's that word attentive mean? It means they were listening. It means they were paying attention to what God's book said. And so not only did they ask for the book, but they listened to it. When I am a person of the book, my ears will be attentive unto the book of the law. Notice how long they were attentive. The Bible says he read from the morning until midday. Pretty good period of time, wasn't it? And yet they were attentive. Notice also that these people, the book, had made arrangements or preparations for the reading of the book. Verse 4 says, Ezra the scribe stood upon a pulpit of wood which they had made for the purpose. For what purpose? For the purpose of the reading of the book of the law. And then in verse 5, the Bible says, Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people. And when he opened it, what did the people do? The people stood up. They stood up for the book. You might go to a sporting event, and when the national anthem is sung, what do people do? They stand up, don't they? You enter a courtroom, and you find the judge enters. What do people do? Rise, don't they? And at a wedding, when the bride makes her way down the aisle, people stand, don't they? Out of respect. And you and I need to have the kind of respect for the book of God that's shown in this chapter as the people stood up. And from a spiritual standpoint, I need to be willing to stand up for the book. In Ephesians chapter 6, Paul talked about putting on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand. In Jude and in verse 3, Jude said, earnestly contend for the faith. That is, fight for the faith. In 1 Timothy 6 and 12, Paul said, fight the good fight of faith. This book, the Bible, is under attack. It's being assaulted today. And you and I need to have the courage and the conviction to stand up for it. But notice further in Nehemiah 8 that the people wept over the book. When they heard the words of the book and they understood the reading, the Bible says in verse 9, all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. You ever shed a tear when you read the book or when you hear it read? These people did. Their hearts were touched by God's word. And notice further in Nehemiah 8 that they made application of the book to their lives. In verse 14, they found written in the law which the Lord had commanded by Moses that the children of Israel should dwell in booths in the feast of the seventh month, and that they should publish and proclaim in all their cities and in Jerusalem, saying, go forth unto the mount and fetch all the branches and pine branches and myrtle branches and palm branches and branches of thick trees to make booths, as it is written. This has reference to the Feast of Tabernacles that commemorated their fathers dwelling in booths after their exodus from Egypt. They had not been keeping that feast. But through the reading, they found written about this feast that they had not been keeping. What was their reaction to that? In verse 16, the Bible says, so the people went forth and what? Brought them and made themselves booths, every one upon the roof of his house and in their courts, and in the courts of the house of God, and in the street of the water gate, and in the street of the gate of Ephraim. So here's a people who were people of the book. They heard the book read, they realized that there was something they'd not been doing, and they went and did it. And that's the kind of attitude I need to have. That as I read the book, or I hear it read, and I find that there's things that I need to do that I've not been doing, I need to go forth and make myself booths, if you will. Whatever it is I've not been doing, I'm going to do that. And whatever it is I've been doing that I ought not be doing, I'm going to quit doing that, because I want to be a people of the book. But as you think about these people of the book, the Jews, King Amaziah, King Josiah, and those people in Nehemiah 8, I believe that we see some common characteristics of people of the book. And in the remainder of our time, I'd like for us to think about these characteristics. First of all, people of the book are people who know the book. There's just no substitute for knowing this book, the Bible. There are a lot of things that you and I might be able to get by without knowing. But we can't get by without knowing this book. In the book of John chapter 8 and in verse 32, Jesus said, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Paul said in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 and 4, that God will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. Now, how can I come to know the truth? What are some things I can do to better know this book? Well, one thing I can do is I can read it and I can study it. That's how I come to know it. In Ephesians chapter 3, in verse 4, Paul said, "Whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ." In his letter to Timothy, in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15, Paul said, "Study, to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Now, suppose you go to school, and the first day of school, your history teacher gives you a history book. And your history teacher says, "I want you to know your history. You need to know this history book. But here's what I want you to do. Just put that in your desk and leave it there all school year. Don't get it out. Don't read it. And then at the end of the school year, I'm going to give you some test over it. I want you to know it." Is that the way that works? Doesn't work that way, does it? You've got to get the book out and you've got to read it, that you might know it, that you might be able to pass the test. And that's the way it works with this book, the Bible. How can we expect to know it if we don't read it and if we don't study it? We need to be like those in Acts 17 and verse 11, who were said to be more noble in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures how often? Daily. Whether those things were so. And so one thing I can do to get to know this book, or to better know it, is to read it, to study it, and to search it. Another thing I can do is to be present on occasions like this to hear it taught. I need to have the kind of attitude that Cornelius manifested in Acts chapter 10 and in verse 33 when he said, "Now therefore are we all here present before God." Why were you present there, Cornelius? To hear all things that are commanded thee of God. And so people of the book are people, first of all, who know the book. How well do I know the book? Do I need to do more reading of it? Do I need to do a better job of studying it, that I might come to know it? But let me suggest to you, secondly, that people of the book are people who live the book. They're not content to just know the book, but they put the teachings of the book into practice in their lives. Isn't that what the people in Nehemiah chapter 8 did? They came to know the book as the book was read, and when they found written some things that they had not been doing, they went and did it. It's been suggested that God's word is like soap. You have to apply it. And the Bible often puts emphasis on doing. Like in the book of James in chapter 1, when James said in verse 22, "But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. You remember in Matthew 7 and verse 21, Jesus said, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven." And so I need to be committed to knowing the book and then to doing what the book says is to be done in my life. And then finally, people of the book are people who teach the book. They first of all know it. They secondly live it. And then thirdly, they teach it. In the book of Acts, in chapter 8 and verse 4, we read where the first church was composed of teachers. As the Bible says, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere, doing what? Preaching the word. Paul charged Timothy in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 2, "And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to do what? Teach others also." You remember the statement that was made in Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 12? "For when for the time," what's the rest of that? Ye ought to be what? Teachers. Did you know that as a child of the Lord expects you to be a teacher of His will? I like the purpose of Ezra, concerning whom it is said in the book of Ezra, chapter 7, and then verse 10, that he prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it, and to teach in Israel statutes and judgments. Here's a man that was a man of the book. He first of all committed himself to knowing the book when he prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord. He lived the book, for the Bible says he did it. And then he taught it. And may you and I have the purpose of Ezra. There was a time when members of the Church of Christ were looked upon as walking Bibles. Why is that? It's because they were diligent Bible students. They were people of the book. They knew their Bible. There might be somebody in the community that would have a question of a religious nature, and one might say, "There's a member of the Church of Christ, ask him. He'll know." I'd like to encourage us today to dedicate ourselves to being people of the book. That as we go forth from this place, that we'll be determined to be a people of the book. That we'll be determined to know the book, to live it after the very best of our ability, and then to be found teaching it so that others may know it as well. And that's our commitment here, to be a people of the book. It may be that through your reading and through your study, through things that have been presented to you from the Scriptures, that you realize that there's some things that you've not been doing that you need to do. Or maybe some things that you've been doing that you ought not be, and we'd like to invite you to come, having heard the word, to believe it, to obey it by repenting of your sins, confessing with your mouth your faith that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and to be baptized into Christ and His church for the remission of your sins, that you might have Christ as your Savior. As Paul said to the Ephesians, that Christ is the Savior of the body, Ephesians 5 and verse 23. Maybe you've already become a member of the church. You've been baptized into Christ and His body, but you've not been living as you should. And you've found written some things that you need to make correction of. We'd like to invite you to take care of that today by repenting of that and asking for God's forgiveness and prayer. And we'll be happy to pray with you and to pray for you that you might be forgiven. Just like Simon the sorcerer, after his conversion, was told in Acts 8, when his heart was not right in the sight of God, "Repent therefore of this thy wickedness, and pray God, perhaps the thought of thine heart might be forgiven thee." And he said to Peter, "Pray ye to the Lord for me, and we'd be happy to pray for you as well." As together we stand and sing, we invite you.